Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Quick update, how are we doing on Christmas trees? Anyone made one yet? This doesn't look good. Okay, we'll be all right. All right, around Christmas time, long ago in the early 90s, I believe, that's the 1990s, or as the kids call it now, the late 20th century, which is very annoying, a young Pastor Dixon, that's what they called me then, sat alone in my parents' basement watching a movie, nay, a film, entitled Three Men and a Baby, starring Tom Selleck. Kids, if you don't know who Tom Selleck is, he invented the mustache. I'll spare you the whole synopsis. All you need to know is that Tom and two other super cool bachelors wound up with a baby for whom they were comically unprepared. At one point, the three men, at wit's end with a howling baby in the middle of the night, discovered the healing power of song over the savage beast. They sing a lullaby, and the baby, like from the title, finally falls sweetly and blissfully asleep. The song they chose, the 1954 chart topper from the Spaniels, Goodnight Sweetheart. Does anyone know it? Hands up if you know it. Really? And what year were you born? Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Forgive me for what I'm about to do. Goodnight, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Boom, 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 boom. You know it. I don't know how or why, but that sunk in somewhere, and years later, when I was at my wit's end with a howling baby, searching desperately for a lullaby I could sing, who should appear but Tom Selleck and his eight tiny reindeer? And I've sung his lullaby to my kids nearly every night in the 7 years that followed. By now, the two older kids have it memorized. Some nights I'll start singing, then stop, and after just the briefest pause, they'll pick it up and finish the song on their own. My 5-year-old Augie is especially good at the boom, 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 boom. These words are printed on their hearts. What is printed on your hearts? When you are at your wit's end, when you are in need, casting about for a word of comfort, what do you find close at hand? I want you to emotionally prepare yourself. Although you seem pretty primed already, I'm going to ask you to sing in a moment. It's not a test. I want you to think of it like an inventory. It'll be kind of a fill-in-the-blank thing. Ready? Away in. That's beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. Silent night. That was actually beautiful. This last one is more difficult. This is a deep cut. This is not from the first verse, which means it could be hard for you lifelong Mount Oliveters. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and... You're so good. You're special. You're all special people. Keep that one close. That's really the summary of the whole Christmas season. God come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, attaching himself inseparably to us, reconciling us to the power that created the universe. Keep that one close. Good news, it was a test. You did pass. Congratulations. These words are printed on your heart. These words and so many like them. But sometimes I worry, especially at Christmas time, if they've become too familiar. Have they lost their power and their meaning because we know them so well? Some nights when I start the Selleck lullaby, my kids join in and speed the pace along to get us through an element of bedtime they know so well, it's become a little boring. Some nights when I start in, they barely notice. It's as if it's white noise now. So familiar that it's almost boring, yet comforting all the same. What does that remind me of? I can't put my finger on it. I can't put my, oh no, it's this. It's church. I'll say it out loud. Church is, in fact, sometimes boring. Kids, who knows what I'm talking about? Keep your hands down, kids. That was a trap. Parents, you saw them. I'll bet there's at least one kid in this room doing what I did at every church service of my childhood. looking at the worship bulletin, counting how many things are left, and groaning when you find a thing that the text isn't included under because you know that means it's too long to fit in the bulletin, so you have to count it double. But I kept coming, and you're here, kids, and now I live here, so who knows what's in store for you. And all of you, you're spending precious holiday hours here. You got ready, you got on the road, you came in, you're singing. Why do we do this? Why do we come to this place when we know almost all the punchlines? We know the lyrics. It's familiar unto boring. Well, for one thing, boring isn't all bad. Boring is a sign, maybe, that all this repetition, all this recitation of these words, these prayers, these songs, these stories are taking root in you, are being carved deeply into the stone of your soul, indelible, there for you when you should need them. For another thing, I suspect that on at least a couple of occasions in your life, you heard something in this room or a room like it that was not familiar at all. It was wonderful, but it was strange, maybe even startling. Think of the shepherds that we were hearing about in the story. Remember the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night? They were terrified when the angels first shared the Christmas news with them. God is near. No. God is here. With one soundtrack, that's Christmas, and it's lovely. With another soundtrack, it's horrifying, and maybe tells of a reckoning at hand. At some point, you heard that at church. That terrifying, wonderful news was made real to you. And it upended what you hear, what you've absorbed everywhere else. This world is constantly telling you at least two things. First, that you're not and never will be good enough. And two, if you just buy this thing or try this thing and keep working on yourself, you might be good enough. But you won't really be good enough because version 2 is coming out next year, so you'll have to pony up for that. The good you, the fully realized you, is always just beyond your reach, but maybe if you stretched just a little bit further, no. That way, madness lies, doesn't it? I think almost everyone in this room understands what it feels like to try so hard, especially at this time of year, but never quite reach perfection. It is by definition exhausting, and we are exhausted at Christmas time, probably more years than we're not. The true Christmas message, though, is fundamentally, foundationally different. The world says, if only you could do these things or get these things, you would be good enough, whole enough. Here and now, I declare to you that this is a lie. Nothing for which you are striving will make you whole. Nothing you can acquire or achieve will ever be enough to make you enough. You cannot, in fact, save yourself. Merry Christmas. Should we keep going? We'll keep going. But how did that feel for that moment when you thought that was it? When you really hear that news, it's a blow. It's a thud. It might even make you angry or confused. It's not the first time I've had that effect on a congregation. It might even make you scared. This is out of my control. But suddenly or gradually, it comes to be a great relief, a joy even. You are not burdened with this responsibility. And of course, the best news of all is not just that you can't do it, but that Jesus has done it, and you have already been saved, or redeemed, or chosen, or maybe freed, in any event, made perfect and lovely in the sight of God. And this is why that baby was born so long ago in Bethlehem, and this is why we celebrate. It was for us. For you he was born, a Savior, the Messiah. You might say the Great Liberator. This is, as the angels proclaimed long ago, good news of great joy. And I hope these words are familiar to you. I hope when you are in a moment of need and you search your mind for that word of comfort, these are available. To you is born a Savior. And I hope it's also strange and unsettling when it needs to be, that the Christmas story can shock you out of the notion that it's all on your shoulders. That the story of a virgin giving birth to the Son of God would never get so familiar for you that it's robbed of its remarkable power. I hope that this story, this source of great joy for millennia, sparks for you some of the awe and wonder the first shepherds felt when angels blazed overhead, speaking words of comfort, yes, but also the earth-shakingly bizarre news that God has come to live among us. And you will never believe how that story ends. So come back on Easter for the exciting conclusion. Amen.